Gentlemen, gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Q. My name, of course, is Mark Bland, and we've got ourselves a very special show ahead of us. Also, don't forget to check out theqnow.com. You're listening to KYRO 1280 AM, the Fox News affiliate here in the Westplex, westplexnewstalk.com. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start this bad boy off right off the bat. No questions asked. I want to talk to one of my favorite people in the entire world. Michelle Ragland. What's going on, Michelle Ragland?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Fantastic. What are you doing today?
What am I doing today? I have all sorts of running around and shows that my children are in. That's what I'm doing today.
So let's talk a little bit about... now, you're a teacher currently?
Yeah. No, I am not a teacher.
Oh, wait a second.
I have a career services company.
You have a career services company, and that career services company, ladies and gentlemen, does very important things. And one of the things it does is it allows us all here in the United States to learn what our children are going to be walking into down the road. Is that not true?
That is part of what we do, yes.
And so with the economy... the way that it is nowadays. And by the way, what is the name of your career services company that you have?
My company is Ricklin Resources.
Okay. And with Ricklin Resources, you basically, do you facilitate the help of getting people jobs or more of like diagnosing what's currently going on in our society and where it's leading towards?
Well, we have a combination of services, and we work with everybody from the person that's just coming out and graduating and not really sure of their direction, all the way up to the CEO who is either being downsized or getting a little nervous it might be time to make a change or going out and doing their own thing. So our services really span a pretty large population, everyone from the people that are just starting out, from the people that have been in the workforce for a long time, or people that are even retiring and looking for a second career.
Now, our economy is not the greatest right now. And here on The Q, we tend to be a moderate liberal radio show. And we talk about some of these hot button issues quite often, including the economy and what's going on with President Barack Obama and kind of just where we are as a country. Now, when you take that into account with you guys in the in the employment side of things, where are we standing currently? Like, is employment on the rise? Is it on the decline heavily? Is it just pretty much stagnant at this point?
It's a tricky call because seemingly we get reports that unemployment is down, but then again, how much does that take into account the people that are maxed out of unemployment and are no longer utilizing it just because it's not available to them anymore? So I think that the numbers are very difficult to get a really accurate picture as to what is going on. But the economy and the job market is very difficult. It's a very difficult market for people who are looking for positions, either just entering the workforce or looking to make a change.
And I have a real issue, and I know that this is going to sound a little crude or a little crass when I say this. I have a real issue with the fact that there are a lot of talented people out there that currently don't have jobs, okay, that have degrees and they don't have jobs. Yet there are a bunch of people out there, and, you know, this is probably what makes my show what my show really is. There are a bunch of people out there that barely graduated high school, didn't want to go to college. They didn't want to do nothing but learn how to walk around with somebody else wearing really dirty pants and swinging a hammer. And I'm not knocking those people for doing what they do for a living, but what I'm saying is that they're making $30 an hour on a union job or something like that. While this person who went to school, who shows that they are responsible and that they want to make something out of their life, this person has to sit on the sidelines or maybe work at one of these part-time $8.50-an-hour jobs for like, piddly money. I think that the roles are just so reversed in our country in general, it kind of... It gives people the wrong idea. It tells them, hey, it's okay to drink your Busch beer on the weekend and waste your life away because Monday through Friday, you're going to make $25 an hour or double that depending on what union you work with swinging a cart, you know, a hammer. And the other guy, you're telling him, hey, stay in school. Be smart. Go get yourself a great degree and all this. But when you get out, you're screwed. There's nothing for you. Where do you stand? Like where are our kids going today? Where is the situation leading towards? Because I remember when I was getting my degree, and I'm sorry to cut in like this, but when I was getting my degree, I have a master's in teaching. They were telling us there's a need for teachers, need for teachers, need for teachers. They had been saying that for the 5 years before I got my degree, and they've been saying it ever since I got my degree. So every year they're telling all the students, we need teachers, we need teachers, we need teachers. And then all these people are graduating with these teaching degrees and there's no teaching spots for them. That just doesn't seem like a good thing.
Well, now you're talking about my sweet spot, which is people that are coming out of college and what they're not doing. So, yes, it is very disheartening when we're sending these kids off to school, they're going, they're getting degrees, and there's an expectation that they're coming out and they're going to be able to land a job that can propel them forward and go towards making a living. But here's what we're not providing for them. We're not providing for them the tools to actually go out and get them. So what we have, unfortunately, is that we have a whole group that are coming out that have a degree and now have this mentality that they are entitled to a job.
Oh, yeah.
And they are not entitled to a job simply because they have gotten a degree. So while, yes, there
so,
are...
But what does that what does that say about those union people I was talking about? I'm not knocking the union people. I'm just saying, what does that say about the people who didn't try to go to college? Who didn't give a crap? Excuse my
well,
language.
Well, I have to say that there is something that they've got over some of the people that are coming out. And that is sweat. They're actually out there working hard. And there are a lot of people that come out of college and aren't putting in the mental sweat.
No, you're right.
And the legwork.
You're 100% right.
Actually, go get the job. So the jobs are not coming to these kids. They're just not coming to them. And the game of actually getting a job is very different than what it was 15, 20 years ago, where people would go. They'd look in the New York Times in my area or one of the major papers, and they'd find positions. They send out their resumes, and it was a much different way of looking for a job. What I find when I get clients, and a lot of my clients that come to me, it's usually the parents that will come to me and say, get my kid out of my house. You know, please do something with my kid. And the resumes that I get do not market them. They don't have an understanding that it's a marketing tool. They don't have an understanding that they are a product that they need to sell. And then they don't actually know how to go out and sell themselves. And those are really the more practical things that they need to know when they graduate, is the what marketing materials do they need, how do they brand themselves, package themselves as a product to sell, and then how to actually go out and sell themselves.
Now, is your company a headhunter type company? Do you guys do headhunting?
No, we are not a headhunter. What we do is we work with people, again, at all levels, from looking to find direction. We do career assessment. We do coaching. We write resumes, and we write them effectively so that you're actually out there having materials that you can market. We show you what other job search materials you need, such as an effective LinkedIn profile, which is probably the number one tool that you need if you're looking for a job, is to have an effective profile and a positive online presence.
True.
And we
something
work,
that I definitely do not have. There is no
important.
Way.
And there, you know, I have an article that I published in several places called "If You're Not on LinkedIn, You Don't Exist," and that's really the game. is that employers use that as their number one tool to find talent, because it's not about finding a job. It's about putting yourself out there to be found by the people that are actually looking for someone like
so
you.
So has LinkedIn really become that powerful of a tool?
LinkedIn is the number one most powerful tool if you're looking for a job.
Really? Did not know that at all. Now, I do have a LinkedIn profile, but see, outside of radio, which I do this once or twice a week for a few hours because I've been in radio broadcasting TV for a long time, I work in the music and entertainment industry as a manager and as an executive with record labels. So basically, I have a LinkedIn profile, but it leads more towards that aspect of my career as opposed to this aspect of my career, which is really funny because both have run kind of concurrently with each other. And so both of them are nice-looking resumes, but for completely different purposes. And
right.
With LinkedIn, I guess you're kind of putting it all in the same pot at the same time to just show it off to everyone?
It depends. I mean, it depends on what your purpose is. And there are strategies and ways to effectively put yourself up there so that you can be found for what it is that you'd like to be found for. It's just such a different climate where... Again, years ago, companies had budgets for recruiting. So if they were looking for somebody, they could actually put an ad someplace. They could take it and give it to a headhunter or to a recruiting agency. But companies don't necessarily have that 20% to hand over to an agency for every job that they have open. So talent acquisition managers, people in the human resources department, are really challenged to find talent without cost, very low cost or absolutely no cost. And the way that they do that is they go on LinkedIn, and they put in the keywords, they put in a parameter, and they find people that they can reach out to. And it may not be the right person right away, but it may be somebody that they say, you know, hey, I'm looking for an account executive for a consumer product in healthcare. So they find people that fit that profile, they give them a call, they say, hey, are you interested? Oh, you're not interested? Do you know somebody who's interested? And that's the game, and that's how it's done. But if you're not up there and you can't be found, that job is filled before anybody ever hears it. And that's what's called the hidden job market. And most people are tapping into the 10% that's actually advertised, but there's 90% of the job market is not advertised, and that's
right.
The hidden job market. And people need to know that this is a job. This takes some mental sweat to actually find a job, and that is where I think a lot of people are really missing the boat. They don't either know how to put in the work that's needed to actually get the kind of position they're looking for, or they really just don't have the gumption to do so.
So with that being said, a few years ago I was kind of jobless, in between things, and I was looking for headhunters, and I was amazed at how hard it was to find headhunters in general. Like, you always hear the stories that they exist. It's almost like they were like an angel investor type person. You know that they exist, but they're extremely difficult to find. Like, and if you run into one, it's like completely by happenstance. Is there a place where people can go to find headhunters? Is there a computer program that people can use to help build their resumes the right way before they get to you so that you can take these pieces and show them how to utilize it properly?
Well, there's a few things. On the... Headhunters, I mean, that's really, again, headhunters today are virtual, so you don't necessarily have to be looking for somebody locally. You can look for somebody. There may be somebody, you know, in California who's recruiting for a job in Missouri. So you can Google and try and find people that way. But again, now headhunters are not necessarily as utilized as they may have been many years ago. As for the resume piece is concerned, it is very, very important that be a strong marketing tool. I don't know any program out there that can do that for somebody. So there is an industry very involved in. As far as the industry that I'm involved in is the professional resume writing industry, and I would definitely recommend that people find a professional to help them get their resume written the correct way, strategically written. It is not what I find with a lot of the clients that come to me. People come and say, "Oh, okay, I did a resume, and it's a long laundry list of tasks." And companies don't want to see tasks. They want to see what you've accomplished. They want to see the value that you have to offer. And it really does take somebody who knows how to do that, somebody who has their pulse on the job market and the decision makers and knows what the trends are, to help put that kind of marketing material together.
Oh, well, ladies and gentlemen, we're sitting here with Michelle Ricklin of Rick. I'm sorry, the name of the company again, Ms. Ricklin, is? What is
Ricklin
the name
Resources.
Of? Say that Ricklin Resources, right?
Yeah.
And if people want to find out about you and a little bit about what's going on, selfgrowth.com as well as RicklinResources.com?
RicklinResources.com is where you'll find my career services company. It's www.RicklinResources.com.
Okay.
And I do have a product actually in my book section. It's a new ebook, 101 Job Seeking Tools for Recent Job Seeking Tips for Recent College Graduates. And for the month of May, anybody that wants to go there to get that ebook, if you put in 2012 grad in the coupon code, you will get that book for free.
Wow. So there you go. And is that only available through your website, or can they get that through other sites too?
It is also available at Amazon.com and on Kindle. It's 101 Job Seeking Tips for Recent College Grads.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, Michelle Ricklin with Ricklin Resources. Thank you so much, Michelle, for taking time out of your very busy day to discuss the job market with us, and thank you for joining us on The Cue.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Yeah, you take care of yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, Michelle Ricklin with Ricklin Resources. Make sure you check out her book. We're going to take a quick break here on The Cue, and when we come back, more of The Cue. Be back right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Cue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and we had Michelle Ricklin on from RicklinResources.com to discuss with us the job market, where it's at, and how things are panning out as we currently see. We're getting ready to be bumped up against the bottom part of our break, but I want to jump on here real quick, and I want to talk about a few things that are going on that you guys need to pay attention for. We do have tickets to give away. I'm going to be doing some giveaways here on The Cue as well as on KYRO. We have tickets to see the band Creed. That's right, the band Creed. Do you remember Creed? I remember Creed. Who doesn't remember Creed? Let's be honest. Who doesn't remember the band Creed? If you don't remember the band Creed, give me a call right now, 636-356-9266. That number again is 636-356-9266. Or if you just want to, you know, talk to us about anything at all, you can always jump in. I don't have anybody I'm swinging with today, so I'm kind of going solo on this. And if you do want to join me on the phone, we'll open phones. We'll talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. I don't have a problem with that in the least bit. Never have, never will. It's just one of those things. I am a huge fan. Anyway, we got tickets for Creed. They're coming to the pageant on Saturday, May 26th. That's right, Saturday, May 26th. I have tickets to give away to see Creed live in concert on Saturday, May 26th. And I'm going to be giving away them on thecunow.com. Got a little Creed here for you right here. Remember these guys? Oh, I know you do. Who doesn't remember these guys? Big part of the late 90s, early 2000s. Scott Stapp and the big boys coming through like the champions that they are. Hello, my friend, we'll meet again. They always sound a little bit like Pearl Jam. Always sound a little bit like Pearl Jam. A lot of people always said that they were a Christian rock band, but they weren't a Christian rock band. A lot of people, it was just a misconception that was thrown at them. Anyway, we have tickets for Creed that we're going to be giving away over the next over the next couple of weeks here leading up to the May 26th show at the Pageant here in St. Louis. But stay tuned. You got to check out the Facebook show, or the Facebook show, the Facebook page for the Q show. If you go to Facebook.com, or if you just go to theqnow.com, you can click on the Facebook link, and that'll take you straight to our Facebook page for the Q. And become a friend, follow the show. That's we put up interesting updates and things like that. But if you go and like the page, which we'll be doing another like campaign, if you like the page, then you enter yourself automatically for a chance to win two, and I mean two, tickets to take you and a special someone else to see Creed live at the Pageant on May 26th. So you're going to have to stay tuned for that. Also, if you want to go to theqnow.com, you can find out a little bit more about the past shows, the other shows, The Q Uncensored, the one-hour show that I do live each week. This week was very St. Louis heavy. You might be interested to find out what I said. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break here on The Q. When we come back, let's get into the good stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and you can find out more about The Q every single week by going to theqnow.com. You're listening to WestplexNewsTalk.com, 1280KYRO. And, yeah, that's what's going on here in the good old world of The Q and Mark Bland. A lot of things going on in the national scene, though. if you're a baseball player, once you assume that the main thing that you needed to be good at, the one thing that you should be good at, of all things other than, oh, I don't know, saying having some high hand-eye coordination, the one thing that you would need to be good at in general would probably be able to swing a bat, which also kind of goes into to play with the whole hand-eye coordination thing. You know what I'm saying? I don't know much about sports, but I do know that everyone wants to see an image of this Washington Nationals rookie, Bryce Harper, who's up to bat with the blood. Have you seen this dripping down his face? Yes, Bryce Harper was having a bad day when he swung his bat into a wall. A day made that much worse when the bat ricocheted and hit him near the eye because he was unhappy about a set of swings that he took during the game. And now he has a in the picture, he has like blood gushing down his face as he's up to bat for the Washington Nationals, which is a very intense, impressive looking picture. But don't go swinging bats randomly into walls for no reason other than the fact that you're unhappy about your life that moment or whatever like that. Like, I never understood that. You know, the one thing that always impressed me more than anything else was there was always the idea that, okay, remember the beginning of Karate Kid? Remember Karate? Well, it wasn't Karate Kid 1. The beginning of Karate Kid 2. Remember after the sensei who runs the Cobra Kai loses and he ends up going out and he corners Mr. Miyagi between the two cars and he punches through the one window of the car and then he turns around and he punches through the other window of the car? I never understood why a person, well, like, I understand, in that case, Mr. Miyagi was ducking. But I'm just assuming that if you punch at a guy and he misses, and you miss him, and your hand goes through the wall, the window, you're not going to turn around and try to hit him again, especially after the long pause that happened between those two breakings of windows. There was, like, quite a long pause between them, where they kind of looked each other in the eyes kind of thing. So, my point is that once he moves the first time, you're assuming he's probably going to move the second time. So, we're going to have very much the same reaction of my hand going through glass and then becoming broken, or having problems with bleeding and things like that. Bryce Harper and these baseball players, the ones that break the bat over their knee, or they swing the bat at the wall, or they get really unhappy about something, they smack their head, their helmet with the bat. I get it. Like, you're playing the ratios that it's not going to hurt you or it's not going to ricochet back at you. But at what point do you just go, how about I just put the bat down? How about I just don't do this? How about I just don't do that? I think that that would be a much smarter, better move for all of these sports athletes. You get paid way too much money to be stupid. Want to know what's going on with you guys out there, 636-356-9266. Give me a call. Open lines right now. We'll talk about whatever you want to do. You want to talk about guns? We'll talk about guns and how Barack Obama's trying to take all your guns away. No, he's not. You want to talk about Mitt Romney and how he's the greatest president that's getting ready to be elected? No, he's not. What do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Missouri Game and Fish? We can talk about Missouri Game and Fish. Catch some crappies. Some crappies. Go catch some crappies. Pull out your fishbowl. I was never much of a fisherman. I don't know about you guys. My dad's a fisherman. He loves fishing. Fishes in tournaments and all kinds of stuff for bass and stuff. Always wanted to take me when I was a kid. I was just too impatient. I was that guy that, you know, I can't stand there for long periods of time with literally nothing happening. I just can't do it. I wish I could. It'd be nice if I could. It'd be fantastic if I could just stand there, wasting my day away, drinking Busch beer, doing nothing. But I can't do it. I can't. I'm busy. I'm trying to create an empire here with the Q. I'm trying to create an empire here with KYRO and 1280 AM. I'm trying to. And you can listen to the show every single Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. WestplexNewsTalk.com via the internet streaming. You can always listen to it live on KYRO. You can always listen to the Q Uncensored, where I get a little bit more racy, a little bit more edgy with my shows on Wednesday nights live on iWatchRadio.com. But, I am not happy about what is getting ready to happen with this new Dark Shadows movie. I don't know if you know much about the new Dark Shadows movie. First off, do you remember the TV show? Do you remember the TV show at all? The TV show Dark Shadows was horrible. The whole point was, what if we made a gothic, vampire-driven daytime soap opera? That's literally what they were saying. Like, what if we did that? Yeah, what if they did that? What if they made a daytime soap opera that was around the idea of vampires and gothic? It was horrible because they really didn't do a good job. BBC and the people over there in England who created that show just didn't have the money. And the money that they did have, they allowed stupid little things. But here's the thing. It has become a cult success. It has become a cult phenomenon. A cult phenomenon. Similar to the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Similar to Night of the Living Dead. It's become a cult phenomenon, or The Blob. It's become a cult phenomenon that people watch old episodes of the show. They watch the old episodes of the show and they talk about it. They talk about all the, they know where all the little idiosyncrasies are. They know where all the little gaffes are going to be. They know where everything is just going to fall apart at any given moment. And it's funny. The lack of production quality is funny. Similar to that Johnny Depp movie he did a few years ago where he, Ed Wood, where he played the director Ed Wood, who did like the old Plan 9 from Outer Space and all that, that looked really super cheesy. But the whole point of the movie was it was like the behind the scenes of Ed Wood's life while he was making these movies and how people are saying, man, that looks really horrible. And he's like, oh, it's fine. It'll look great. That's the same idea of what we had here with the Dark Shadows movie. And or the Dark Shadows TV series. Well, Tim Burton, whose favorite two actors, of course, are his wife, Helena Bonham Carter, and one Johnny Depp, because every single movie has those two people in it. Anyway, Tim Burton's riff on the 1960s, 70s vampire campy soap opera Dark Shadows, it joined a subset of TV to movie adaptations redundantly obsessed with the fish out of water trop. This is my opinion. These include The Brady Bunch. You know, The Brady Bunch, decent movie, great movie. A lot of people liked it. The Addams Family. The sequel was really, really solid, well done. The Coneheads. I was a little, you know, not so much for The Coneheads. The Coneheads wasn't all that special to me. The plots of the films also serve to emphasize the transition of media by having their characters marvel at the bumble through a new, unfamiliar environment. And that's very typical about these remakes. These remakes now, they do that a lot. They do the whole fish out of water aspect. You know? Seriously. The guy who comes to a time period that he's just not used to. That Blast from the Past type thing with Brendan Fraser, which was a pretty good movie in my opinion. It was decent. It revels in the, you know, supposed dearth of the modern invention that fuels the remake culture, and it's as honest as it is regrettable. That is totally true. Now, Dark Shadows doesn't force its vampire protagonist, Barnabas Collins, into a modern setting much beyond the series' original conceit. So understand Burton's take on the soap that, you know, that came out in the 1970s is just that. It's a take on the soap. It doesn't literally run the gambit of here's Dark Shadows recreated in a movie that can either be a part of the original series or in addition to the original series. It's actually one of those situations where it's just, I'm going to utilize these aspects of Dark Shadows as a reason to create this movie and to have characters in general. Now, see, the greatest advantages of something like this are to see someone like Helena Bonham Carter in period-appropriate drag. You know what I'm saying? Like, Helena Bonham Carter, most of the movies she's in, she's like, whether it's Harry Potter or whether it's some, like, the, you know, she really does a very good job carrying herself, literally, in period stuff. Like, she looks good dressed up like she's from the 1880s in Sweeney Todd. You know, she looks good in these situations where there's a some type of a character suit that she needs to put on. We haven't seen Helena Bonham. Like, I'd love to see Helena Bonham Carter as George Clooney's wife in the next drama-ridden George Clooney film. I think that would be very entertaining to watch. I think it'd be very interesting. Out of her, definitely not her pond, definitely not her wheelhouse. But now, there's been a ton of culture shock that has come out of this new movie. Obviously, the movie just opened this weekend. And basically, a lot of the people are just completely absolved of wanting to be involved at seeing this movie any further. Anyone who is a huge fan of the original television show has just heard nothing but horrible things, and the people who have seen it have said nothing but horrible things. This was a waste. This is not a Tim Burton thing. This is not what Tim Burton's good at. Tim Burton's good at grabbing the weird, like the Willy Wonkas, the Sweeney Todds, the Edward Scissorhands. Hell, he was even good at taking the Batman franchise in the late 80s, early 90s, and playing with it. But he does that comic book-esque, over-the-top, very colorful, very graphically enhanced versions of the movies. And unfortunately, they wrote the characters in the new Dark Shadows movies to be funny characters. But that's not what the funny was about the past show. The show was funny in the past because of the lack of production quality. The production was horrible. The production quality was horrible. They don't have those problems in the movie now. They might have put a few, I haven't seen the movie personally, they might have put a few of those little twinks here and there in, those tweaks in, so that it like pops off on the screen as, oh, like, you know, maybe like a light bulb, you know, burns out in the background while they're in the middle of a scene. But then they probably allude to the light bulb burning out. Like in the old television show, they never alluded to the light bulb burning out. It would just burn out in a scene. And maybe somebody would like look off to the side like in a weird, what do I do, what do I do, what do I do? Oh, just keep going. You know what I'm saying? And this, it might be a thing where it goes out and then all of a sudden, Barnabas Collins, a.k.a. Johnny Depp, turns around and goes, going to have to get that changed. Flick, flick, and flicks the light bulb. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, comedy for the sake of comedy, whereas the other thing was organic. It's like the difference between Evil Dead 1 and Evil Dead 2. Evil Dead 1 was actually supposed to be a horror movie that just came off funny because it was so horribly done. Evil Dead 2 was written specifically to be funny because they found out that the first one was so campy, all they had to do was write camp and they would have it. I would love to hear what your guys' opinion of the movies that are coming out, as well as if you've seen Dark Shadows, hit me up on the line, 636-356-9266. We're going to take a quick break here on The Cute. When we come back, more with me and you.
If there's any way, because the answer lies in you. They're laid to rest before, they've known just what to do. They're so
ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Cue. A little Creed to bring us in. We're doing all Creed this entire hour for some of our songs, because we have tickets to give away to see Creed live. That means live at the Pageant on May 26th here in St. Louis, Missouri. Good old Creed. Doing the Creed thing. What is this life for? Torn. Good songs. My Sacrifice. All the good stuff. All the good stuff. If you want to be a part of the show, give me a call right now. 636-356-9266. A reality TV show starring Whitney Houston's family announced 3 months after the singer's death. Yeah, I said it. 3 months after the singer's death. Whitney Houston's brother and sister-in-law Gary and Pat Houston are set to star in the Houston Family Chronicles, a new Lifetime documentary-styled reality series that revolves around their experiences and those of the other family members in the aftermath of the singer's death. Following along as Pat and Gary embark on their greatest challenge, supporting and guiding Bobby Christina as she faces the world alone without the one person she relied on most, her mother. Let's be honest. She probably relied on her mother, but was her mother really there? Was her mother really there? Her mom was not really there that entire time that Bobby Christina, like, for the last 10 years of Bobby Christina's life, her mom was mostly drugged out or doing stupid things. That's the truth. Not knocking, like, their relationship. She was probably a fantastic mother in those few moments. You know, the first 10 years of Bobby Christina's life were probably, like, really, really awesome. Because it was before Bobby Brown got into her life. Well, that's not true. I don't know. It just seems to me like there was years where Whitney would have probably been a really great mom to have, and there was years where Whitney was probably just a really horrible person to be around. And you were either a part of both sets of those years, or you were a part of one of those sets of years, or you met her in the other set of the years. Like, there was no in-between. Anyway, Whitney's mother, Sissy, is also expected to appear on the show. Inner circle pals like Dionne Warwick and Cece Winans will also stop by. Isn't that really funny? She passes away, then they get a reality show? She had the reality show with her and Bobby Brown. We can't forget about that. According to Pat, Chronicles was in the works prior to Whitney's death, but it looks like her sudden departure was not enough to make this thing seem too exploitative to produce. It seems a little exploitative, doesn't it? The unexpected passing of Whitney certainly affects the direction of the show, Pat says in the Lifetime press release. However, it is my hope that others will be enlightened as they watch our family heal and move forward. I think that's what you guys should do. You should move forward. Love to hear what your opinion of Sissy Houston and the rest of them having a reality show based off of Whitney's passing. 636-356-9266. Give me a call live here at westplexnewstalk.com. That's where you're listening to us. I talked about Creed. We're going to be giving away those passes via theq.com in the Facebook page. You want to go and like the Q. Go to theq.com. Follow the link right there on the main page. There's the Facebook link. Click the Facebook logo. It'll take you straight to our Facebook page. Like the Facebook page. That automatically enters you in to win two tickets, a pair of passes, to go see Creed live at the Pageant Theater here in St. Louis, Missouri on May 26th. Seems like it's going to be a very fun show. Also, big news that is hitting the world right now. Carroll Shelby, the automotive legend, passing away within the last 24 hours. Very, very, very great life that this man lived. Some of the most classic cars that will have ever been developed came out of this man's head. Before reality TV, and even still, to a very large degree now, people, the best-known name associated with performance cars to the average person is and always will be probably Carroll Shelby. And let's be honest, with good reason. Shelby has been considered a legend in the field for decades. You know, his influence is still very strong today, I would say. But he died within the last 24 hours from complications from illness. He was born in Leesburg, Texas. He had poor health throughout much of his childhood. By his teenage years, his health improved, and according to stories, received a speeding ticket the very first time he was loaned his father's Willys. Loved Willys. I don't know if many of you out there listening to the show are big car enthusiasts. I love cars. I'm a big NHRA fan. I love the NHRA. John Force, Tony Schumacher, you name it, I love it when it comes to racing. Not a big fan of the NASCAR, and I know all you guys with your Busch beers and your you know, hockey and Cardinals jerseys and all that. I know you guys are all big about your NASCAR and your Tony Stewarts and your Tony Stewarts and your Jeff Gordons and your juniors. You gotta love your juniors. You gotta make sure you got your 12 gauge barrel double pump breasted shotgun leaning up against the wall while you watch. I get it. I understand. It's a simple life. Work Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Drink beer the rest of the time. It's not hard. It's like I was talking with Miss Ricklin earlier on the show. Beginning of the show, we had Michelle Ricklin on, if you're just catching up to us now. We had Michelle Ricklin on from RicklinResources.com to talk about the job market. And one of my biggest complaints is all these people go to school And they have degrees. And I'm not talking about the people who are just graduating now, because she made a good point. A lot of them think that they're entitled to a job because they went to college. No, that's not the truth. But there are a lot of people out there like myself, and I'm not one of them specifically, but there's many people out there who went to college, worked in the workforce, put in the blood, the sweat, the tears, and the time, don't have a job currently, and they're looking for a job, while this guy who schlubbed off, who drank his Busch beers, who watches a lot of NASCAR on the weekends, works that union job, ladies and gentlemen. He works that union job Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., making $30 an hour. And he wasn't even really able to pass with passing grades and all this other stuff. Like, he wasn't even good enough to do that in general. Barely made it out of school. Love to hear your opinion on that. 636-356-9266. We're going to take a quick break. We're at the top of the hour. And when we come back, more of The Q. Go visit theq9.com while we are away. WestplexNewsTalk.com is where you can listen to The Q every single week. This is Mark Bland, and you are listening to The Q, www.theqnow.com, bringing everything in with Creed, since we have tickets to be giving away on The Q for Creed, as well as other things. But, ladies and gentlemen, much to my chagrin, and not really much to my chagrin, more because I really want this guy to be successful, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be bringing on the line right now Tony Cabral of Ace Films. Tony, how you doing, sir?
Good, sir. How are you doing today?
Hey, man, we're doing fantastic. And, Tony, you are literally a week out from the end of your Kickstarter campaign. Tell everybody out there a little bit about what's going on with the Kickstarter campaign.
So I have until May 22nd. That's the deadline that I basically set for myself for my Kickstarter campaign. Basically, what I'm doing is I'm in the process of raising money for a film project, much like anybody else would use Kickstarter for, except mine is actually, instead of for one film, it's actually for two short films.
Okay.
I met up with a screenwriter a couple of years back, and he had a script. He ended up also writing a script of a story that I had. So together, those two stories are part of this one project, this one shoot that we're raising money for, and that's what we're using the Kickstarter for.
Hmm. Now, how much is the Kickstarter campaign for? And explain to everybody what Kickstarter is.
Well, Kickstarter is in itself like a social network similar to any other social networks that are out there, except for it's actually a social network designed to help raise funds and be kind of a proving ground for projects before they actually, in a sense, start, in a sense, kickstarting a project.
Right.
And for my project, and you can do it for any kind of artistic venture, any venture that has kind of a finite time period, like a film project, an art project, a play, something artistic that way, or for something technology-based that you're trying to get developed. I know a friend of mine actually has a camera mount he's trying to get developed, stuff like that. You can use it for any kind of process like that. Now, you can't do it for something like, oh, I'm trying to fund my life or go on a trip or something like that. Like, that doesn't really work that way. But, like, for example, I know there was some other folks from in St. Louis, even, that they got to go compete in an art competition in Grand Rapids, and they used a Kickstarter campaign successfully to raise the money for them to go to Art Prize in Grand Rapids and compete and do well there in Art Prize. And that's something that you can use this process for. Like I said, mine is for me to help produce two short films.
And what are the names of those two short films that you're trying to work on?
There's one that's a short film that's only a few pages long called One Lone Soldier, about a downed and injured paratrooper in World War II trying to survive in the woods during World War II, finds an ally in a very unlikely source, and has to make some tough decisions along the way. My other film is called Last Rites. It's about an old man named Peter, and he has to make some really life-ending decisions that affect the things he's done throughout the course of his life. It's very much like It's a Wonderful Life or Christmas Carol, looking at moments when he was pretty horrible in his life, and he needs to know if he wants to be remembered for those things or if he thinks he can go back and change them before it's too late.
And how often do people get a chance to help a young filmmaker achieve his dreams out of the St. Louis area, much less in general? It's not that often that this comes around, and I really think that with what Ace Films has done, you know, Tony is not a schlub. I want everybody out there to know this, that Tony Cabral, the gentleman who's on the phone with me right now, he is not a schlub when it comes to the movie industry. This guy works on the set of Breakout Kings, the A&E show. He has produced and directed Transformers 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, God, no.
And, okay, wait, never mind.
Oh, I did make a mistake, though. I'm sorry. My character in Last Rites is named Philip, not Peter. That was kind of a... It's already been a long day.
It has been a long day for you. But you know what? Yeah. You know, Reed, why is it a long day? Because it's busy. Because you're trying to be successful with this Kickstarter campaign. It's an ongoing 24 hours a day for 45 days straight process, right?
Yes, and it really has been. And this weekend I'm doing something special for all the people who have actually backed my project.
Oh, really?
What I've decided to do is I'm actually sending out messages, and I'm actually getting them in the process of starting that right now. I'm doing it all weekend, all the way through Monday until I have thanked all of my backers. And I'm going to send out individual messages to each and every one of my backers individually across the internet, basically letting the world know that I'm thanking those people individually for coming to my Kickstarter campaign and backing the project.
That's very nice of you.
I mean, and we're moving along quickly. And yes, Mr. Bland, a very special message will be going out to you yourself.
You don't even have to send one. You just said it right here. You can just say thank you live on the air to me, to all in front of all the fans.
Thank you to Mark Bland.
There you go.
In front of all of your Q listeners, yes. Mark Bland has helped kickstart my film project.
And by the way, we also have a special thing going on with the Q. If $10,000 worth of money via the Q listeners comes the way of Tony Cabral, one Anthony Cabral, and he will write a special scene into one of his movies so that I can be a star in his movie, or one of the stars of his movie.
You know, in fact, after our last time...
How much have you made so far? 10 cents? 20 cents?
From the Q listeners, I have a little bit more than 10 cents.
I see.
And we're on our way in that respect towards that goal. Now, I did say the last time that I was on the show with you, and I even discussed this with my screenwriter, Christopher Roy, that I don't need to create a role for you. I think we know where we're going to put, you know, Mr. Bland. But it is true, yes. If between, you know, Mark himself and all the amazing listeners of the Q now, we're going to give Mark Bland a speaking role in one of those films and help give Mark his acting debut.
Can I be a hot dog vendor?
Short film.
Do I get to be a hot dog vendor?
You won't be a hot dog vendor.
Because I'll just eat the hot dogs and not say anything. We'll just make it a silent roll. Just put one in my mouth while I'm just chewing on it, chawing off
to
the
side. Well, you know, I mean, a free meal is a free meal, right, Mark?
All right. Well, to bump this, because Tony, you didn't know that I was going to do this, but to bump this a little bit further, if you are a St. Louisan or have the ability within the surrounding areas of 1280 and KYRO to get to the Pageant Theater, if you are a St. Louisan and you go right now, and you donate at least $25. $25. You have to donate $25 to Ace Film. First off, you can go to acefilms.com, and on acefilms.com's website, you can find the Kickstarter page.
The link is on the front of the Kickstarter page. The actual event on Kickstarter is called Ace Film Shorts, Last Rites of One Lone Soldier. You can either go search for it on Kickstarter, or there is a link, like you said, on the front page.
I would just go straight to Ace Films. AceFilms.com is so much easier to remember. They go right to AceFilms.com. Sure. They click the widget thing there for the Kickstarter campaign. You go there. You donate $25, and the first person to do that right now, and you have to put in the message in the note, your name and your address. You have to do that, your name and your address, and that you heard this on the queue. I will give you two free passes to go see Creed live in concert at the Pageant on Saturday, May 26th.
Wow, I mean, that's a great deal for $25.
$25 donation for this Kickstarter campaign. I'll give you two passes to go see Creed live in concert on Saturday, May 26th at the Pageant Theater. Fair enough, Tony?
That's amazing. That's a great help. And yes, you know, all you have to do is, once you go ahead and make that Kickstarter donation, is send me a direct message. You can do it right there on Kickstarter, and then I will forward that on to Mark Bland directly so that you make sure that you get those passes to go see Creed.
Yeah, there it is. So first person to go to his page, acefilms.com, click the widget, go donate $25, make sure you tell him that it's because of the queue. I will literally give that first person a pair of tickets to go see Creed live at the Pageant. So, Tony Cabral, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day. Good luck over the next week and a half trying to get this Kickstarter thing finalized and knocked out. Help a young filmmaker's dreams come true. Do something good.
You know, Mark, one of the most important things to remember about Kickstarter, and this is one thing that was not said yet, and I know this is going to be really fast, is that Kickstarter is all or nothing, meaning that if we do not hit our goal, no one gets charged. And not to mention, we don't get to make these two amazing films. So we have to hit our goal. We need to hit that goal. It's an imperative, and I know that we can do it.
And that's,
together as a collective, we can do it.
And that's my point. You know, there are a lot of filmmakers running around St. Louis. No knock on them. They're good people. But very few of them have the credibility in the background of you, Tony. They haven't worked on shows like Breakout Kings for A&E, or they haven't been on Up in the Air, a movie that was up for an Academy Award. They haven't worked around the United States on a lot of big projects. Tony knows his stuff better than anyone in the St. Louis area. There's no one who works on projects the same size as Tony's other than Tony Cabral in this area, at least no one that I know. Most of the guys that are close to his level are local guys that just focus on their local stuff. They're not traveling all over the United States working on huge projects like he is. He's down in Louisiana 6 months out of the year, every single year, working on huge movie projects. So this is not just some schlub idiot who's just trying to do something with a video camera here. This is a legitimate filmmaker who's trying to make some great stuff that's going to be entered into the Sundance Film Festival come out of the St. Louis area. I really, really want you all, the Q listeners as well as the listeners of KYR on WestplexNewsTalk.com, to try and do something good for once in your lives. Most of the time you're conservatives, and I get that. So you're already like trying to like ruin our country via votes. Don't ruin our country via votes. Help ruin our country via great films or really great indie films. Is that right? I don't even know if that came off right. It probably didn't. Go support this man's Kickstarter campaign, ladies and gentlemen. Get out there and support this campaign. Tony Cabral, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Mark.
I appreciate it, man. I hope everything's going well for you, man.
Hey, it's going to be a long week and a half, but I know that I have faith that we're going to hit our goal. And the moment that first backer comes in, hitting the $25 pledge, and I'm going to go right now and check my link and check my updates, see who that person is. We'll make sure that we get those two tickets to Creed for pledging that $25 right now.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. $25, acefilms.com. Go pledge it to the widget for the Kickstarter campaign for Ace Films, and I will give you the first person, two tickets to see Creed live May 26th. Saturday, May 26th, at the Pageant Theater here in St. Louis. Tony Cabral, we'll talk to you later, man. Thank you so much for being on the queue, bud.
Thanks, Mark Bland.
All right, man. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. That's all that needs to be said. We're going to take a quick break here on the show, and when we come back, more of The Q.
I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6 foot fall.
Yeah, you do. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and that is Skilo. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Yep, that's my main man, Skilo. Tony Cabral's Kickstarter campaign. We just got done talking about that before the break. Acefilms.com. Go check it out. Go over there to the page. Go to acefilms.com. When you get to acefilms.com, I want you guys to run in there as fast as you possibly can. You got to run in because that's just how you have to. You have to kick the door down. It's a kick the door down kind of thing. You're kicking the door down because you want this to be a successful move for one Tony Cabral. You want him to be successful. We want him to make his movie. If he doesn't make his movie, that's not being successful. So, you go to acefilms.com, you go click on the link to go over to the Kickstarter campaign page. You go to his Kickstarter campaign, you watch his little videos, you watch all of his updates, you look at all the stuff that you're saying, and you go, God, this guy, he's smart. He's a smart guy, and I really want to be a part of this project. So what you do, I'll tell you what you do, you donate $25. $25. If you donate $25 and are the first person to do it to that Kickstarter campaign, I have two passes to see Creed live at the Pageant Theater on May 26th, Saturday, May 26th, here in beautiful St. Louis, Missouri. You're helping somebody else out. You're getting to see a great concert. You're helping support The Q. This is just a win-win-win. I'll tell you what else is a win-win-win. This Mother's Day deal that Hooters has got going on. Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? I just want to know if you've heard about this at all. This is kind of crazy to me. Considering the Mother's Day founder, Anna Jarvis, ended up rejecting her creation due to the holiday's hyper-commercialization and spent the rest of her life campaigning against it, one might assume she would have a bone to pick with anyone who took Hooters up on their special Mother's Day offer of free boneless wings for moms. Yeah. Yeah, that's happening. Right up in your wheelhouse here, listeners of The Q. You know you love it. You know you want to do it. First off, you got scantily clad women. You have delicious, boneless, as well as boned-in wings, chicken wings. And it's Mother's Day. Win, win, and if you're doing it for mom, win. This is a win-win-win all the way around. Still, their wings are small nuggets of buttery nirvana. And moms do get 10 free pieces tossed in their favorite sauce. And Hooters does employ a lot of women who may or may not be mothers. Let's just assume most of them are probably mommies out of wedlock. Yes. So maybe Jarvis would give them a pass. Hooters is showing appreciation to all moms for all that they do to make this world a better place by serving up our signature menu item for free. All day on Saturday, May 13th, moms who dine in at Hooters will receive an order of 10 boneless chicken wings tossed in their favorite sauce for free. And as one eater pointed out, if your mom has a favorite Hooters wing sauce, she already knows you're taking her to Hooters for Mother's Day. That's probably the truth. Let's just be honest. If you're taking someone to Hooters and they already know what their favorite wing sauce is, they're probably doing that on a normal basis. They're probably going to Hooters already. It's not like you're being like subjective to your mom. You're like subjecting her to something that is just absolutely horrible that nobody, and I mean absolutely nobody, can handle. I know when I don't have a guest in here, the show seems a little slow, but it's not a little slow. Actually, I think the show moves a little bit better when I don't have a guest in here, just because I'm not so amped to like just say stupid things and do stupid things. Let's just be honest. Hey, I'd love to hear what you guys have to think about everything that's been going on today. 636-356-9266. The Blues are not in the playoffs anymore. Neither are my Philadelphia Flyers. So there's a mute point all the way around. That's right. All the way around. Nothing good coming out of that. And we are a station here at KYRO that tends to play the blues live to the Westplex. You know, I have a feeling that I have the most popular show in the entire Westplex. I have a feeling that I do. Why not? Here's the thing. Why not? No one else is telling me that their show's more popular. Nobody's telling me that their show's better. I'm not telling anybody else that my show's better than theirs. I'm just saying I feel that I have the most popular show in the Westplex. It's not maybe better than others. It's just the most popular. Literally, more people like my show than every other show. They listen to it more often. Now, that's not to say that they don't listen to theirs. I just have more people that listen to mine. Cell phones. I got one of these Verizon Droid Incredible 2s. After going through like one of the most headache-filled time periods of my entire freaking life, I was able to finally get them to just admit that their phone was crap. It wasn't good. And that they needed to give me another phone, a different phone than I had. It didn't need to be newer. It just so happened to be newer than the one that I was complaining about, like a more up-to-date version. But it didn't have to be. It just had to be a different phone than the one that they kept. Because here's what Verizon does. If you don't know what Verizon does, this is what they do. You get your little insurance, right? Okay. So you have a problem with your phone. You take your little phone with your little insurance policy over to Verizon. You go, "Hi, my phone's not working." Bam, 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 bam. And the guy looks at you like you're the biggest moron in the earth. That's right, in the earth. Not on it, in it. And they look at you like a moron and they go, "Hey, let me check and see if you got insurance." "Oh, yeah, you've got insurance. Okay, so all we're going to do is we're just going to order you a new phone. And then that one's going to come in the mail, and then you just send your phone back, and then boom, down." And they'll do it like it's candy. Like, you could go in 12 times in a row. They're just going to send for another phone to come to your house. You put your phone into the prepaid for send-back package, put it in the mail, and it goes back to the place. Now, here's the problem. I know what they're doing. They're not fixing the phones. They're not. They're just cleaning them up and putting stuff over the top of them. Okay, so my phone has a problem personally with it shuts apps down on its own. Just shuts them down. I don't have anything running that shuts apps down. It just, the phone shuts apps down, and then sometimes when I'm trying to text message things like that, it locks up. Okay, so what happens? I go in and complain about it. I take the phone. They send me a new one in the mail, the exact same phone. All shined up, glossy, looks like it's new. I got to pull all the stickers and everything else off. And when I do that, ladies and gentlemen, I put my phone back in the package. So what happens is my phone that's all screwed up goes back to their little service center in Florida or whatever state it's in. I'm assuming it's Florida because a lot of screwed up things come out of Florida. Okay? It goes down there. Then they just take it. They wipe it down really well. They clean it up really good. They put stickers, all the new stickers to make it look like it's brand new back in it. Then somebody else from another city calls in about their phone. They take my phone without having fixed it at all, and they send it to that person. And that person sends their crappy phone back in. No phones are getting fixed. You're just assuming that the problem's not as bad as the people. The people are just problem. That's the problem with Verizon. That's the problem with these phone companies nowadays. I'd love to hear your opinion. 636-356-9266. We're at the bottom of the hour. I think I'm going to be joined by Matt Krueger here in a minute. So we'll be back on the queue right after this. I couldn't think of a more appropriate song to bring one of my favorite people in the entire world in on than my friend Matt Krueger, who is now sitting here directly across from me, and I brought him in on Death Clock. That's right, Death Clock. Gotta love Death Clock, Matt.
Oh, was that my introduction?
That was your introduction right there.
Oh.
There it was, just throwing it out there like that.
Oh, and I totally dropped the ball on that.
No, you're good.
I'm like... and ladies and gentlemen, Matthew Kruger, and then everyone goes, ah! I'm like, hi, right. Everybody.
I didn't have like the sound effects. Like, I guess, technically,
if I was to do this right and correctly, and I probably could, do like a laugh tracker. No, I got it.
I'm sitting here directing the microphone from the other side of the room.
I probably could do like a laugh track if I really wanted to, like it's a cheesy 70s like.
Oh jeez, I don't need a laugh track. I need a and the crowd goes wild,
like horrible. But think of the old horrible things like man, my arms sure are tired. That didn't work out really well at all. Yeah.
You're a pro at this, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, ladies and gentlemen. That's right.
Things like that.
It happens. That happens right there. So, Matt Kruger, I noticed that you're wearing a specific shirt today.
Yes, I'm wearing a brick.
Not that one. Not that one.
Oh, not this one?
Not that one.
Oh, the other one that's obviously what you're talking about?
Oh yeah, 70s cheese. Yeah. Oh yeah. Did you ever hate it? I always hated that where they took really stupid sayings like, "Oh, grandma's going to be in trouble now."
I was always against the laugh track because I believe it insults the viewer's intelligence that the people who are editing the show together think that the viewer is dumb enough not to know where they're supposed to laugh.
Oh, that's a good one, Matt. That's a good one. You broke that one down right. No, I'm just
like
joking.
Instead of the punchline being the punchline is now the laugh track.
True. No, you make a really good point. You like Creed? Creed. Do you like the band Creed?
Hi, my name is Anonymous right now, and I like Creed.
Do you really like Creed?
Wow, somebody just ran into this room and said that he liked Creed and then took off very, very quickly. I don't know where he came from or where he
went. Yeah, this is a guy who likes Death Clock, Nickelback, and Creed. Like, those three just don't make a sense at all, but they do.
I like Gwar.
There you go. Hey, now, so you have another shirt on there.
I do have this shirt. The shirt that you were obviously talking about, which would be my Captain America shirt.
Your Captain America shirt. And Captain America is a part of one of the most awesome movie franchises to ever hit the theaters ever, evidently. The Avengers. Did you get a chance to go see The Avengers? Actually, you know what? Why am I asking that question? Because the real truth is the lead-in is I sent you to go see The Avengers. Specifically for the fact that I wanted to get someone who had seen The Avengers to come on the show. And I know you're a huge comic book fan. So tell me about The Avengers.
The Avengers is basically...
Awesome?
Iron Man, the movie, with a whole bunch of other Avengers in it.
You get that feeling. I'm not saying that you get that feeling from the trailers, because the trailers don't give you that feeling.
No, the trailers, and honestly, there's a lot of, you know, equality that goes on. It seems like the time that they divvied up to each individual character or the characters, you know, that spend time together was very well done. It doesn't seem like any one particular character gets more time or, you know, gets better lines, but I did have somebody say, I was like, oh, well, there were a lot of Avengers in that Hulk movie, or there were a lot of Avengers in that Iron Man movie. You know, the Hulk and the Iron Man are basically, I think, your two heavy hitters, players. You know, I don't think people are going to the Avengers movies necessarily to see the Hulk. But people are definitely going to the Avengers movies to see Tony Stark and Iron Man.
And that's what I was getting ready to say.
It has the same feel and mentality and the same, like, tonality and, you know, like, camera filters as right. The first Iron Man movie would have. So it has that same feel.
Yeah, and that was what I was trying to get at in the fact that what I was saying was I haven't seen the movie myself. I'm going tonight with my wife to see The Avengers. Now, if you're out there and you've seen The Avengers, the movie The Avengers, you need to give us a call, 636-356-9266. Tell us what you thought about The Avengers. But I get the feeling that Tony Stark is the most well-developed character, and Robert Downey Jr. plays him so well mm-hmm. in general across all of those comic book movies on the Marvel Universe that it almost seems like it has to be just the Tony Stark show with some side players.
Right.
It seems like it has to be that way.
And most people don't think about this, though, but the first Hulk movie that was directed by Ang Lee.
The one where the Hulk looks like a Chinese guy with a bowl cut?
What? No, I don't know.
The Hulk's physical face looks like a Chinese dude with a bowl cut.
I guess he was played by Eric Bana.
Right, I know.
You know, it came out in, what, like 2004? And then there was the one with...
Edward Norton.
Edward Norton. That's actually a sequel. It was the first movie, and then there's a sequel, and then it's a, you know, a furthering of the character in the Avengers movie. Same character, same continuity, same timeline. Most people don't think about that. So there has been a lot of build-up, but for whatever reason, people don't...
Oh, so this follows along in the same... like you said, the same continuity. Like, so each story leading to the next piece.
Right.
So, like, because if I remember correctly, I thought that the second Hulk, the one with Edward Norton, was a retelling.
Mm-mm.
Or restarting, a reboosting.
A lot of people had that mentality. Same thing with the Star Trek movie that came out with the newer cast.
I know that that's
cast.
A prequel.
It was a pre, yeah.
I know that that's a
but
prequel.
But a lot of people thought it was a reboot. And a lot of people thought that about
But it is Hulk a reboot movie. To an extent, because you know that they're going to make another, they're working on it right now, Star Trek 2. And you know they're going to have Khan in there, and they're going to they're remaking the original stuff with a newer cast. Though the first prequel.
It all lines up with the same continuity, though, which means that it's not a reboot. It might be a new way to get new cast members in there, but it's not necessarily a reboot. It's a prequel.
Now, what about the new Spider-Man movie that's coming
out? The new Spider-Man movie is a reboot.
It's a reboot?
It completely.
They're going to retell the story of how he gets bit by the spider again?
Completely different universe, completely different characters, completely different continuity. Everything that you know and love about Spider-Man, you could probably expect to see, but don't count on it, you know?
I like that.
It's basically, it's going to be, you take Batman Begins and take Batman out of it and insert Spider-Man. That's kind of what you're going to get.
Now, the Avengers, what's the, you know, for the people out there that might not know a lot about the Avengers, what's the general storyline in this one? Loki's the bad guy.
Yeah. So Loki, the Thor's brother, is basically, he got trapped on Asgard. Or, you know, he got trapped by this big old piece of technology called the Tesseract. And eventually he gets out. And when Loki is the god of mischief.
Right.
And
he's going to create a lot of mischief.
And what is he going to get into this week? I don't like the delay.
I know. I'm trying. Well, it's because the laugh track has like a 1 second delay before it actually starts playing. I know. If it was immediate, that'd be funnier.
Okay.
I think it's funny just the fact that it exists at all.
Right.
So anyway, go on.
So he gets out of, you know, I guess his like little Tesseract, you know, jail cell, and you know, breaks through to the next dimension, which is Earth, and starts killing people and kind of playing both sides against each other, which is what he is.
Go ahead.
Which is what he does best. He alters reality. He's able to control and create things that don't really exist. And it's very subtle in the movie. But Loki has, like, reality-bending powers.
Right.
And so they don't really go into that. But as a fan of, you know, Loki and Thor, you can kind of see that influence of how he starts to control. And it basically becomes the chess master, and how all of the other Avengers have to kind of overcome his little mischief plots. That's a better one.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the queue. And when we come back, of course, we're going to have more with me and Matt Krueger. Stay tuned. If you want to call in and chime in, tell us what you thought about the brand new Avengers movie, 636-356-9266. Oh, that's right. Welcome back to the queue. We are funny, funny, funny here on the queue. A couple things I want to talk about. We only got a few more minutes left here with our friend Matthew Krueger talking about the Avengers. But before that, don't forget two things that you guys got to do. First person to go over to acefilms.com, click on the widget for Tony Cabral's Kickstarter campaign, and to make a $25 donation and put your name and address into the donation that you give to him. I've got two tickets. Two tickets for you to see Creed live at the Pageant Theater here in St. Louis, Missouri on Saturday, May 26th. Also, don't forget, we are going to be giving away passes live on the Q's Facebook page. So if you go to the Facebook page for the Q, right? So you go to theqnow.com, and I have the little logos up there for Twitter and Facebook. Click the Facebook one.
You got a Google Plus?
I do got a Google Plus.
Ooh.
You take, but I don't have the link up there for it.
Oh, okay.
But you take that link, you go to it, it'll take you to the Q's website on Facebook. So the Facebook page for the Q, and then you like it. You say, I like this. These guys are funny. They're really, really, really funny.
That's much smoother.
Yeah, they're funny.
It's like a tasty Busch beer. Goes down smoother.
Yeah, they're funny, and I like it. And that automatically enters you in to win two passes to go see Creed live at the Pageant.
Now, is this the original?
Yes, this is Scott Stapp. This is the original lineup.
Okay.
Live. Playing all their great hits. All of their great hits. Everybody loves their hits.
I thought everybody loved Raymond. Where's my laugh track?
I don't know.
That was funny.
Yeah. We're done.
Aww.
We're done. We're just done with that.
I need a punchline to my punchline.
Nope. We're going to play Creed songs. Let's listen to this song. This song sounds like it's going to be fantastic right here. Oh, not right now it ain't. Because that's a commercial for Internet Explorer. Look. This gets on my nerves. No, I don't love you at all. I don't love you, Internet Explorer commercial, because you take 30 seconds out of my life to watch YouTube. You suck.
Okay. In a commercial for Internet Explorer. Do people actually need commercials for Internet Explorer? Doesn't it just come standard with every Windows operating system?
Pretty much.
Now, okay. I immediately delete mine and go with Firefox, but...
The song that introduced Matt Kruger to music in general.
I don't know about all that. It's probably, you know, some kind of Ring Around the Rosie song.
On the pocket today, just my whole sin. Oh, yeah, you're listening to the cue.
Now, the one Creed song I do like is the song What If.
I really kind of
dig that one.
I always liked one. Mm. What if? What if? What if? Who? Scott Stapp and I sound like Pearl Jam. Right?
Something maybe like some Stone Temple Pilots in there too.
Little Stone Temple Pilots.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that if this was 1999 when the Avengers movie was coming out, that we would have at least two Creed songs on the soundtrack?
Oh yeah, dude.
Just a blast.
It would have told
Warrior, and it's like, yeah, Hulk, it's like, going,
it would have been like My Sacrifice, and it would have been like Tony. You know, like,
oh, dude.
Tony just falling.
Oh, it would have been My Sacrifice. You're right. That's exactly what it would have been. It would have been My Sacrifice on that movie. I'm not, you're right. It would have been like, exactly, like a scene from him falling down, crashing into the ground after Loki like slams him down with all of his powers that be. Yeah, you're right. That's exactly what would have happened. I that's not far-fetched.
Mm-mm. Like, no, I can come up with it. Somebody else.
Avengers Assemble.
Really? Really?
Featuring Soundgarden's
really?
Live to Rise.
Uh-oh. Soundgarden's Live to Soundgarden.
Soundgarden.
That's 95 right there.
Well, that sounds like a new song.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah. Tony Stark. You see him there?
Yeah, kind
and, of. And then there's the, what's the Black Widow? And she slowly turns around and she looks at him. And yeah. She's like, they're all just kind of like the camera's just fading as the like dust is rumbling around them, slowly past their faces. Then, and it's gonna, this is the scene of him flying backwards, shooting the arrows back and forth, like at the other guys. Loki swoops in.
The whole thing has to be done in slow mo.
Is that Thor? Is that the scene where Thor sees Loki and he goes? And he points at him and goes,
points
hello.
At him like Hulk Hogan.
Hello, my friend. We meet again. Oh, yeah. That's right. That's kind of fun we have here on the Q. And you can check that out every single week at theqnow.com. You can check out the Q Uncensored. As well as don't forget to check out Savage Vibrations if you go to awr.podomatic.com. Or facebook.com/savagevibrations.
Mm-hmm.
You can always go there, too. And we got new episodes of that going up. We just talked about some fun stuff.
New episode every week.
New episode every week. That's just me and Matt being a little bit more reserved. Or less reserved.
I think it's less reserved.
We're less reserved and we're less biased.
Because, well, with Savage Vibrations, we're much less, we're not really controlled by the FCC.
We're not constrained.
We're broadcasting. It's a podcast. It's like satellite radio. There's no real, no rules. You can say and do what you want and talk about what you want.
There's no rules here. Yeah,
I'm just going to take my pants off then.
Bingo.
Bingo. And so you get a slightly different side of me and Mark.
Speaking of what you just said, taking off your pants. Have you heard about the 70-year-old...
Can I take off my jacket too?
Sure. Have you heard about the 70-year-old virgin who's now ready to rock and have
the
herself
who?
Some sex? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The 70-year-old virgin?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Is that the fourth installment in that horrible 40-year-old virgin movie?
Good for Pam Shaw, who's a septuagenarian, cabaret singer from England. Despite performing since the 1960s under the name The Sexual Pam, The Sexational Pam, she has never quite found the time to hook up with a decent bloke. Now she's finally ready to move.
It only takes a few minutes.
Now she's finally ready to move beyond snogging. I guess that's better late than never. So, yes. She says, I may be 70 years old, but I'm very young at heart.
Is there a picture of her?
Oh, yeah. She's
can you turn that screen so I can see a picture?
Oh, she's a hottie, dude. Hottie!
She doesn't quite look 70, but I'm still going to pass.
You're still going to pass?
Yeah.
You're not going to... There's no go ahead on this.
No, so you say she's from the UK?
Yeah.
Then why does she look like she's from the Ozarks?
I wish we had the laugh track now. That was actually really funny. She had to point out to everybody, I'm loads of fun and bundles of energy. I got to salsa and Zumba classes every week and have loads of friends. I like to think I'd be a real catch.
Catch her real gently. You might break her
Could
hip.
Could you just imagine, say a 20, a really, really, really good looking 21, 22-year-old girl.
Okay.
At the bar.
Okay.
Relaxing.
All right.
Having a few drinks with her friends. You catch her from a
concert. Got it in my head. I saw one last night.
But she's got that West Virginia, hick, Arkansas accent, and she goes...
I kind of find that a turn-on.
As you walk up to her, she goes, I like to think I'd be a real catch. Like, that's the line that comes out of her mouth as you start to engage
her. If she had your tone... I'd probably have to pass, but...
That's my point. My voice going, I like to think I'd be the real catch. Yeah, you wouldn't.
No, I like my women to be well-spoken.
Or spoken at all. Oh, you missed this picture. Yeah, you missed that one. Oh, yeah. That's going to turn you on more, right? That one doesn't.
Not really. She kind of looks like, what is that, Tina Turner?
She's got really bad. She almost looks like Phyllis Diller at this point. she's slowly morphing into Phyllis Diller. There's a 1960s reference.
Either way, I'm still going to pass.
She says, I was never short of offers in my heyday. Men saw the outfits I wore on stage and thought I would be easy. Lo and behold to them, I wasn't anything. That's because you were a prude. Ladies, before we get out of here on the queue. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, I was going to say, how can you be a cabaret dancer?
And be a prude?
Somebody that promotes and showcases sexuality.
Right.
And never find the time. Never one night had a few two drinks, and... Just one thing leads to another. You're on the casting couch in the back. I don't know.
Now, here's the thing. I want to, before we get out of here, because we only got a minute and a half left, I just want to let everybody out there know this. Very simply. I understand, young ladies, because I have a daughter myself. I understand the difference between being prude and being cautious.
Uh-huh.
Okay? I understand the difference between being rude Never mind. I've just sneezed all over myself. In the studio.
You need a tissue so bad.
I do need a tissue so bad. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get out of here on the queue. I want to sit here and thank Michelle Ricklin. RicklinResources.com is the spot you need to go if you want to find out anything and everything about getting a job. She can be very helpful, as you heard. Listen, if you want to go back, we're going to have the Boiling Point blog that's on theqnow.com. I'm going to post this episode up there on that. So go check it out if you want to hear back to it. Also, Tony Cabral's Kickstarter campaign, 2 free passes to the first $25 donor. Go to acefilms.com and click the Kickstarter link and move on from there. 2 free passes to see Creed May 26th. Also, don't forget to go to theqnow.com. Go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/theqnow, and like the page. I'll give somebody in the next couple of weeks a pair of passes to go see Creed. That's your entry into it, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to do it for me, Mark Bland, here. As for Matt Kruger, Matt, you want to say anything last? 5 seconds.
Facebook.com/savagevibrations.
All right, we'll see you guys later.